Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hey there, and welcome to the Eurogamer newscast. And this week we're talking about PlayStation 5 Pro, which Sony has not announced, but everyone is expecting to launch later this year. Joining me to talk about it and whether we will buy one or not, it's Eurogamer's news team. We've got Ed Nightingale.
Hello.
Victoria Kennedy.
Hello.
And I'm Tom Phillips. So just a quick recap, obviously PlayStation 5 Pro has not yet been announced by Sony, although we are expecting it to be announced at some point relatively soon. However, the technical specs are out there, leaked from Sony's own development servers, which developers have access to so they can start optimizing games, or they've been doing it a while, continuing the process of optimizing games ahead of PlayStation 5 Pro coming out later this year with faster processor, improved ray tracing capabilities, and yeah, a bit more of a forward, future-proof machine. And it's weird to think, right, that we are halfway through the console generation as it is. PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X have been out 4 years at this point. This is the midway point.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like this has been a really weird console generation, and I don't know if that's because time for me has just lost all meaning since 2020, but I also feel that we're still kind of getting going. It feels earlier in the console generation than it did for the PS4 equivalent, to be sort of thinking about this kind of thing.
I think part of that is because I feel like there was less of a leap between 4 and 5 than there have been with previous generations, and obviously there was the whole crossover release thing for ages, or yeah, just us having sort of like remasters and remakes of PS4 games on PS5. So it sort of feels like there's been a big overlap that hasn't necessarily allowed developers to really push the new consoles as much, which is why, yeah, it feels like a big question as to, well, why do we already need an upgrade if you know, we're not necessarily seeing, or it's only recently that we've really seen, you know, PS5 only games coming out.
That's true. I actually had kind of forgotten that we had such a big crossover, because God of War Ragnarok was 4 and 5, wasn't it? Forbidden West was. I know that Burning Shores expansion for Forbidden West was just PS5. But then again, that was only last year, and that was, like, only then was Guerrilla's chief, can't remember his name now, but he was saying about how, you know, this is how they're going to push the power of the PS5. And that was just, yeah, not even 12 months ago.
We are halfway through, and maybe less so with Xbox, because I don't think this console generation has really been defined by Xbox with massive first-party exclusives in the way that it has been for Sony. That's one of their big priorities, right? But looking at PlayStation, we've had a God of War, we've had a Horizon, they re-released
Last of Us.
We've had a Ratchet. We've had a Gran Turismo.
Don't be so casual about that. We had a Ratchet. That game was brilliant.
Yeah. And so, but we've had those games. The first party franchises have turned up. It does feel like we're at a bit of a moment now in 2024. Like, when you look at the release schedule, Sony's in particular, there really isn't that much coming out. And I think that speaks to the fact that we are in this midpoint where you've had that first batch of games. All of those games that did well will get sequels, but they're not ready yet. They're still 2 years out. Maybe they're coming in 25 or 26, or even later. And we are at that sort of midpoint lull. And hey, having a new console out would certainly help.
I mean, this year in particular is very quiet. I mean, is that because, do we think that especially first party studios know that this Pro is coming and are waiting for that boost?
Oh.
I mean, I presume if they're launching a Pro, they're going to want some sort of game to go with it.
I don't know if studios are waiting for it, but I think it's fair to say that games take a long time to make, right? And when you're on these sort of 4-year development cycles, as you probably are for a massive, massive game like God of War or the next Horizon or the next Naughty Dog game, that you just cannot release a game much sooner than sort of 3 years if you're making those big games, you know, massive AAA blockbusters. So I think it's just that this sort of the Pro fits naturally into quite a quiet year in the interim as we've had those blockbusters and then we're waiting for their sequels coming up. I suppose the studio that doesn't do that, and we saw their roadmap when it leaked, was Insomniac, which has just got sequels and spin-offs and other things planned.
Oh, Wolverine.
Well, yeah, but then there was, you know, the leaked Venom projects that they were looking into, and then there was the canned Spider-Man multiplayer thing, and then you can sort of say Wolverine is a bit of a spin-off of Spider-Man, looking at the leaked gameplay, and then they've got a whole roadmap of sort of yearly things. But even then, I don't think they're waiting for Pro to launch Wolverine. I think it's just coming along at the sort of at the expected sort of time. It just feels earlier, maybe because of COVID, maybe because 2028, which is when we're expecting the brand new hardware to arrive, just seems still like the far off future.
I definitely remember, though, looking back on sort of this equivalent time for the last generation, I was really excited about getting my PS4 Pro. And for me, it just felt like a much more worthy upgrade. I don't know. Whereas, like, I mean, full disclosure, Tom and Ed already know this, but for anyone listening, I am not a tech person. Like, I don't typically look at things and be like, oh, GPU, that's so interesting. But for some reason, for PlayStation 4, I just felt like it was more worth it than I do now. Again, I don't know if this is like a time thing. I don't know if it's maybe because I'm in this very privileged position where all the games that I would have wanted to have played on that console this generation, I have so far played them already. So I'm not like holding out because I want to play something with more ray tracing because I think it's worth it.
Maybe you're just more mature and have more sense when it comes to spending £500 on a new piece of visual hardware. Ed, you said it, I think, earlier, but the gap between 4 and 5 was not that pronounced. And maybe people are sort of a little less excited by the idea of, you know, just 4 years on from PS5, splashing another £500 or however much it's going to be on an incremental upgrade to that incremental upgrade from 4 to 5, you know, just going from 5 to 5.5. And I think that maybe that has put people off a bit, and we're seeing, you know, there's Digital Foundry have done a far more in-depth piece on PS5 Pro, and they start talking about Moore's Law, you know, where computational power doubles every so often, but that's not the case so much.
Phil Spencer mentioned Moore's Law as well when he was talking about, because in the article that we wrote recently about Xbox wanting to bring more digital storefronts to the console, he also referenced Moore's Law and about how this like console generation generally is kind of slowing in the terms of that component drive.
Are there sort of capabilities that have been discussed, you know, faster processor, better ray tracing? Do any of those sort of tip the balance for you guys to splash out that 500?
The thing that would make me consider it more is anything that improves frame rate. And that's not something that I was really fussed about until this generation, where I think we've started to see more games at 60 FPS.
Mm.
And I think as well, people now have much bigger TVs with 4K capabilities. And I think when you start playing on that, but at 30 FPS, you can really start to see the difference between 30 and 60. And some recent games for me, I think, haven't maybe hit 60 FPS. So for instance, like Dragon's Dogma, there's been a lot of stuff around the frame rate of that. And that, because it's variable, hovering around 30, it's not a great look on PS5. Even 7 Rebirth, I played that on performance mode because I wanted to favor the frame rate. Because I've just now got myself into a space where I'm like, everything must be 60, because I genuinely start to get a bit motion sick now if it's at 30 with all the detail and everything going on. I much prefer 60. But with Rebirth, you could really see the difference in the image quality. It was genuinely noticeably blurrier. And I know they have changed it and patched it, but during the review process especially, like it was quite a noticeably blurrier image. And so if I think about a PS5 Pro and think, well, could it improve on those things? Yes, I'm sure it probably could in some way. But I also still feel like maybe developers haven't quite pushed the PS5 as it is, as far as it can go. I think if you look at something like Insomniac with Spider-Man, that game looks stunning and they have an amazing sort of middle ground between performance and graphics mode, which I can't remember what they call it, but it's like a mix between the two where it's still giving you a high frame rate, but it also looks good. And admittedly, yes, they're a first party studio, so maybe they are a bit more experienced with the hardware than, say, Capcom or Square Enix. But I still feel like there is more to be pushed from this console without needing an upgrade necessarily. Like, Victoria, you said you were excited about the PS4 Pro. I absolutely was not at the time.
No.
I had absolutely no interest in it. I just thought, I've already got a PS4. I don't need a tiny upgrade. I can see if you don't own the console, sure, go for the best version. But if you already own it, it wasn't enough of an increase. And then towards the end of the sort of life cycle, you got Remake and The Last of Us 2 that felt like it was going to explode by playing it. Which did concern me and think, well, maybe I should have had a Pro by this point. But then a year later, we got ports on PS5 and they run even better. So unless that's going to happen again, I'm more than happy to just wait for a PS6 and play those games in an even better version then. I feel like it's almost a marketing thing of, oh, you want to have the best stuff? Well, now you've got to buy another console. And knowing Sony, it'll be incredibly expensive. Like they have done with PSVR 2 and with like the Elite controller, where it's for those like tech nerds who really want to have the top level stuff. And that's great. And I would also love to have the top level stuff, but it's incredibly expensive to get it. And it feels like they're really pushing that premium level when it's not really necessary, I don't think. Sorry, that was a bit of a vent, but there you go.
Get it off your chest. I like it.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, God, we're going to be playing The Last of Us on PS6 again, aren't we? It's going to be re-released again, which I will play again.
Get your $10 upgrade ready. You know, going back to what you were saying, Ed, about this stuff costs money. Like, well, not many people right now, I think, are looking to buy 8K TV screens. And the 4K TV screen upgrade, for me, was something that I was looking to those mid-gen consoles, the upgrades last generation, to take advantage of. I had a 1080p screen at the time. I can't remember exactly was that I got a 4K screen, but yeah, there isn't that same push this time around with the PS5 Pro to take advantage of new hardware either. So I think it's a much more difficult sell, and it will be a much more difficult sell for Sony to launch that this year. But then they like difficult sells. I mean, this is a company that made PSVR 2 and also PlayStation
Portal,
whatever it's called. Portal, thank you. Yeah, the feeling out at GDC from developers out there was reportedly that people in the development scene are not hugely excited about the idea of this console, not really seeing the point of it. And it made me think of something that Phil Spencer said to Eurogamer back at Gamescom last year, which is that every time you add another one of these technical points, specification sets for developers to hit, it's yet another thing that they need to test for. It just adds more complexity to their job. And I thought that was interesting too, especially because what we think we know of Xbox's upcoming mid-gen console refresh plans is that their consoles don't dramatically change what the technical specs of the Series X and the Series S can do. Those tech specs are basically going to sit for the rest of the generation. And what we're going to see this year from Microsoft is more of, well, the X will be digital, so it will lose its hard drive. And it will just be probably a bit cheaper for Microsoft to produce now that we're halfway through the console generation. Whether those savings get passed on to the consumer or not, we'll see.
Of course not. I do feel like is this the right phrase? Sony's made a rod for its own back, where they are now known as being sort of, at least console-wise, pushing for the forefront of graphics. And that's obviously something that's been happening for years now, especially with, you know, as we all know, Nintendo does not do that. And they are happy to have lower spec things. But funny enough, they make good games and they still sell really well. And I feel like because Sony is now known for having the highest possible level graphics that you can have on a console, they maybe feel like they need to be pushing this and they need to be constantly improving. And Microsoft is in this sort of strange place somewhere in the middle where they've got the X to try and compete, but then they've also still got the S that isn't as powerful that they still want people to buy. And now every game has to be on both and they're splitting their resources and whatever. And it's becoming more complicated for them to compete with Sony in that race. Maybe this means that Sony pushes even further ahead, but equally, there's the argument of, is it really necessary? But maybe they feel like they have to in order to be seen as the tech-forward, flashy console that people want, because that's sort of become their brand now, I think.
And very much a console manufacturer, first and foremost, whereas, I don't know, if you want to play Indiana Jones later this year, to pick probably the only big... I guess they've got Avowed as well. But like the big first-party console release coming up from Microsoft, if you really want to play that at top technical specs, make it look as good as possible, you can. You play it on PC. And that's where a lot of the people who are real nerds about making games look as good as possible already are. Do you need to release a new Xbox X.5 or X Pro, or whatever you want to call it, when your console user base, I don't know. I don't see many people who own a Series X saying, I wish it looked even better. And the people that can already, like when you're doing day and date PC releases, the people who really care about that stuff are probably already playing on PC anyway. And maybe it's different for Sony because they don't do first party releases day and date on PC. And they think that there's enough of their current PS5 audience that are looking to upgrade. I mean, we're sort of getting to the question, are you going to do it? Both of you have PS5s, right? So you're in this boat where your PS5's owners at the moment. Do you think you will upgrade?
No.
No.
It's a very easy no. I genuinely have no interest in it. It's going to be very expensive. I don't think it will be worth the money. I mean, another thing that's occurred to me as well is PS4 Pro. Another part of that was PSVR, and that working better with a PS4 Pro. In fact, I don't think it even worked at all with a base PS4. So it was sort of tied in with that. But we've already got PSVR 2. It works fine with the PS5. There are just no games for it. So that's also not an argument for upgrading.
And also, it's going to be made compatible with PC as well.
Yeah.
Also true. So there's not really an argument around VR either to upgrade to a 5 Pro. It just seems like an expensive marketing thing to take advantage of tech nerds. And that's not me.
I'm going to copy and paste Ed's answer. That's basically how I feel as well. I actually hadn't considered the VR aspect just because I don't play VR, but yeah, you're right. There's nothing really pushing me to say I want a Pro. And I think also, like you mentioned, obviously the developers at GDC saying that they don't see the point in it. We mentioned obviously that a lot of PlayStation 5 games have been cross-generation. And you know, now we are starting to see more kind of PS5 exclusives, and the ones that I have played have been great on the platform, so I don't feel that it needs to be pushed further for me just yet.
You're not looking to replay The Last of Us again with slightly smoother graphics one more time?
I'll tell you what, my husband's going to start playing The Last of Us. We finished the TV series, so he's now going to play it for the first time. But ooh. I have it on PS5. I played it on PS5. It looks great on PS5 as far as I'm concerned. So
the job of the TV show worked.
The job of the TV show did work, yes. He's going to go and play the game now.
That's awesome. I guess I'm in kind of a different spot from you two because I actually don't have a PS5 at the moment. I have everything else. But Yeah, I don't have one. And I guess right now, if I was to get one this year, I would wait. And when I do, there is a nice back catalog of games on it that I can catch up with, and I'd probably get a Pro now. Like, so many of the PS5 games were playable on PS4 anyway. We are starting to get to the point now where there are a decent number of PS5 exclusive games that you can only play on PS5. But then I suppose you wait a year, you play them on PC. Yeah, I'm not hugely sold on PS5 Pro. I think, just as someone who hasn't yet got a PS5, I would say there's probably a subsection of people in that market who would then go for the best possible model if they were looking to get a new console this Christmas. And maybe Sony is just looking at that and thinking, hey, there's still people out there that we know haven't upgraded from PS4 yet. When they get a PS5, let's give them a higher tier option so they feel like they're getting a really great state-of-the-art machine, and we get some more money because we'll inevitably sell it for £100 more than the base PS5. Whether they lower the base PS5 model when they launch the Pro or not, I think there were reportedly suggestions that Sony were not going to do that. They were just going to stick £100 on the price of the current model, keep selling the old model at the current price, and then put PS5 Pro above it.
Do you think, given that we have had a slightly more regular cadence of PC releases on Sony PC releases, do you think that will also kind of deter people from upgrading, because they're like, well, I'm kind of feeling more confident now that the game I want to play on PlayStation will eventually come to PC, and probably not in the too far future? I mean, well, we've got Ghost of Tsushima coming this spring, and then, you know, we've had Forbidden West, which is obviously like a big release of 2022. Sorry, again, lost all sense of time. So, I mean, do you think, given that we are now seeing these PC releases on a more regular basis, that'll kind of almost negate the need for a Pro for some people?
I feel like Sony games on PC is a nice extra, but Sony's known for its console games, and I think that's just very much its audience and its ecosystem. So people will buy Sony consoles to play Sony games. I don't think it's embedded yet to think, oh, well, I'll just wait a year and get them on PC instead, or two. I don't think that's really in people's mindsets at the moment.
Yeah, also it's a year. That's a decent amount of time. I think if you are interested in playing those games, you won't want to wait 12 months, which is entirely Sony's ambition with that, that a year is long enough that you can convince yourself, oh, I will spend money on the dedicated piece of hardware if I really care about playing God of War Ragnarok 2 or whatever it is.
And it might even be on PS Plus after a year anyway.
Oh yeah, that's true.
I mean, the whole thing's just quite similar to like the iPhone situation, I think, where, you know, if you're buying a new iPhone, you're thinking, right, well, or at least I would think, I want to have the top level one because I'm going to have it for however long. I want to make sure it's future proof. But then at the same time, there are so many different iPhones. It's like, well, do you want the 13 or the 13 Pro or the 14 or the 14 Pro? And you're like, what? Like, what is the difference between these? And it gets very confusing. And I can imagine it gets confusing for, I suppose, the average person that maybe doesn't play games, unlike us, who is thinking, well, which PlayStation do I get then? And, you know, is the Pro going to be the slim model, or are they going to go back to a fat model with a disc drive included? So it's kind of like, here's the ultimate version with everything included. And like, how do they compare that to then the slim model, which already has two versions with disc and digital? So then suddenly there's like an extra version of the Pro. Is that just one version with a disc drive? Is that two versions with and without a disc drive? Like, it just starts to become more confusing for people. I don't know if that confusion is worth it.
You reminded me of my friend who is buying a console for their child, and they wanted to buy a Series X, but they actually bought the Xbox One X or something, just because they got confused. And like you said, they're not sort of as embedded in the industry as we are, and they ordered last generation. It all gets very confusing.
Well, it sounds like you guys are pretty decided. And I'm very much, if I was to get a PS5, I'd probably, if I'm spending 500, I might as well spend 600. Not that the thought of doing either of those things is particularly appealing.
No. My thoughts may change. If they suddenly announce like Ghost of Tsushima 2 and they say, you know, gameplay shared on Pro and it looks phenomenal, then maybe I'd be more enthusiastic than I am currently. But as it stands at the moment,
I think that's a big part of it as well, is that, I mean, yes, obviously this is all sort of under wraps. We haven't had an official announcement yet, but all we're seeing is some numbers, which I think all three of us would admit that none of us are particularly like in-depth tech nerds that understand it all.
We're not so, Digital Foundry.
Yeah.
No, and I'm very happy we have Digital Foundry to explain these things to us. But it's just a load of numbers. And so until you see something tangible of like, here's a comparison of two screenshots. Oh, I can see the difference. Okay, I like that. Now I want it. It's all a bit sort of hypothetical until that point, because we don't really know. I mean, I can imagine they would never do it, but like a PS5 Pro with an Elite controller and a VR and the Portal as like the ultimate PlayStation bundle of like, here's all the cool stuff that you need. But then I also feel like that then starts to become very Apple culty of, you want all the high tech stuff and it all integrates. You have to have the Sony version. And it's just going down that sort of high tech brand route more than then Xbox, which feels like it's more play anything anywhere, which is for everyone, mm-hmm. which equally is maybe not working for them. So I don't know if either route is necessarily the right route to be.
Again, there's Nintendo just in the background.
Exactly, like, oh, you want Mario? Here you go. Great, I'll buy that. Easy.
Yeah.
I guess with Xbox, they don't need to release a Series X Pro, because they're going to release all of their first-party games on PlayStation anyway. So if you want to play on a Pro console, you can just buy a PS5 Pro. It's kind of a statement of fact. I mean, if you want to play Sea of Thieves on a Pro console, this console generation, just buy the PS5. Microsoft doesn't need to spend all that money on R&D and manufacturing for 500,000 people to buy an Xbox Series X Pro.
Has Xbox always been like day one releases console and PC, like generally, like, well, like on Game Pass, I should say, like that's yeah. been since the conception
been
of
doing,
Game Pass.
In terms of stuff going into Game Pass on day one, yes. In terms of stuff launching simultaneously on PC and Xbox, that's been the case for a long time. That's what we think. Are you going to buy a PlayStation 5 Pro? Let us know. We'll be back next week. Maybe the PlayStation 5 Pro will have been announced by then. Maybe we'll have seen The Last of Us running slightly better, and maybe Victoria will have already put down a pre-order. Until then.
Imagine if they announced it this afternoon after we've recorded all this.
That would be unfortunate. Until then, Ed, where can people find you on social media?
You can find me at @ed_nights.
And Victoria?
I am at @littlechopshopgal.
And I'm @TomPhillipsCG. We'll see you next time, everyone. Thanks for watching. Bye for now.
Bye. See
you then.